We've been looking back a lot of the time and looking at different aspects of Christ and who Christ is. We've looked at peace, hope, joy. This morning we look at love. Advent is looking back, but Advent is also looking forward. We look forward to Christmas Day, but we also look forward to the year ahead and to our lives into the future. So that's what Advent is. I'm not really a big traditionalist, but I really enjoy some of these moments that are in the Christian calendar because they help us to just focus again on who Christ is and his birth that is so important at this time of the year. So we've lit four candles. You can see I'm not really that good because we had to light all four. The three should have been burning before the service. So, you know, Christmas Day, just help me, okay? If you come in here and they're not burning, then just say, hey, Brian, I think you need to light those candles. But it's really great that we can take this moment, that we can look and say, what is it? What is it that's special about this time of the year? We've looked at three already. This morning we're going to look at love. So my scripture reading this morning is from 1 John 4, 7 to 21. And the title that somebody gave to this section of scripture is God's Love and Ours. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. Whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. We have a coffee shop now, and we serve different coffees. And the basic ingredient is coffee. But those very clever people are able to take that coffee and give us a cappuccino, a mochaccino, Americano, all these different coffees, but the basic ingredient is coffee. We all like our own special one, don't we? Now, back in the day, the Greeks were really sophisticated. The New Testament is written in a Greek that's called Koine Greek. It's a dead language now. It's a closed language. So if you ever learn Greek, you only have to learn a certain vocabulary. That's quite nice, eh? Like English, they keep adding new words. New Testament Greek, you just have to learn what's there. They're not adding anything new to it. But in Greek, they were able to express love in different ways. As we express coffee in different ways, they were very sophisticated in the use of the word love. You will actually find there's seven different words that are used in the New Testament Greek, in the Old Greek, that speak about love. Three of those are found in God's Word, and I want to look at four of them this morning so that we can fully appreciate, when we read a scripture like that, what God is trying to say. We read a scripture like that, and we just read the word love, love, love. I think it's 21 times. I wasn't counting. But we read the word over and over. The Greeks had a specific meaning attached to that particular word in that scripture. So we've got four different words that we're going to look at.
Eros, phileo, storge, and agape. Three of them are in the Bible. So when I say I love Lana, I love chocolate cake, I love Bar One, I love this church, there's a different meaning that I attach to that. And you have to try and discern what I mean. Because when I say I love Lana and I love Bar One, like we know, we kind of go, oh, I understand what he's trying to say. He likes chocolate. No. You see. But in the Greek, they said, hey, I'm going to use this word because this is what I mean when I say love. And I'm going to use this word because this is what I mean. So that there wasn't this confusion about, does Brian love Bar One's more than Lana? What? I don't understand. So let's start at the first Greek word. This is eros. Eros. This word is not found in the Bible, but it's very important that we understand at the time that the Bible was written, this was a common word used in the Greek language. So I've included it to help us clarify what we sometimes think love is. Eros is where we get the English word erotic. And so we can immediately say, oh, I understand what kind of love this word is talking about. It's talking about a more passionate love. Got to be careful. It's a Presbyterian church, so I guess passionate's the best word I can use before I get into trouble. But we mustn't be confused. It's not only speaking about a sexual love. It's speaking about a love that is based on what the other person does for me. It's a love that I say, if you do this, I will love you. Or if you are like this, I will love you. That's what eros speaks about. It speaks about when this happens, when you do this, I love you a lot. And the same is true if you don't do something, then I will love you less. It's very important that we understand that as we talk about love. Eros love is that insatiable desire to be near the object of that love. It's exciting, passionate, nervous feeling that sweeps over people in the right settings. So that's often the feeling of love that we get. That when I see somebody, I thought, oh, wow, she's so beautiful. I love her. That's exactly how it happened. But anyway, I keep getting distracted. She's sitting right in the front row. So as we think about this love, when I say I love you, what I'm really thinking or meaning is I love how you make me feel. It's an emotional love. It changes with my emotions. Eros was named after the Greek god of fertility. And the Greeks didn't always think it was something positive. It wasn't always seen as a positive thing. Eros was viewed as dangerous, fiery, irrational form of love that could take hold of you and possess you. So that's the first kind of love. Whatever you do makes me love you more or less. The next love is phileo. That, by the way, is the Greek on the left, and that's the English, how we would say it. So this phileo is brotherly love. It's the kind of love that my boys should have for each other. It'll happen. But there is a certain amount of sparring. But in the right situation, those two boys support each other. They stick up for each other. They say good things about their brother that we don't always hear at home. But they do that. And that's what this is talking about, that kind of love. It's not based on what you do for me. It's more based on my relationship to you. Because you are my brother, my sister, my children, I love you in a certain way. So this kind of love often steadily grows. We have a very interesting outlook on friendship today. We quickly friend people or unfriend them or follow them or whatever. But this love is more a love that says, because of who you are in my life, I love you. I didn't always love my sister, just by the way. If she ever tells you the stories, they're all true.
But we love each other incredibly now. We grew in our love, and we're in a very different place of loving each other now. In Matthew 10:37, anyone who loves or phileo their father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves phileo their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So when we read that scripture, we would just read the word love. Fortunately, the English translation doesn't help us here a whole lot. We just read love and we've got to say, what is the word behind that? So that's what Christ is trying to say as he speaks about this. That's the love he's talking about. Or John 12:25. Anyone who loves or phileo their life will lose it. Anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. So we've got eros. How do you make me feel? Phileo, brotherly love. Then we've got storge. This is a love that is shown in affection. Romans 12:10 says this, be devoted to one another in phileo storgos, honor one another above yourselves. So this is an affectionate kind of love, not a physical kind of love necessarily. It's a type of love that parents have for their children 90% of the time. This kind of love is also referred to as motherly love. And all the mothers will go, oh, I know what you're talking about. And the dads, to a large extent as well, I know what you're talking about. That love that I have for my child, that is this kind of love. This love is entirely based on the relationship between the lovee and the lover. It's a love that's based on dependence. This word is only used that once, and it's a combination of phileo and storge. That's where it's used in the Bible. Then we get on to the fourth kind of love, agape. This is the word that is used the most in the New Testament to talk about love. Most of the time when you read love, the word that's hidden behind it in the Greek is this word agape. Agape is a love for everyone. It's a selfless love. It's a sacrificial love. You will have heard unconditional love. That's what this word talks about, agape love. Agape is the noun, agapeo is the verb, and it is one of the most radical loves that the Greek people would use when they spoke about love. It extended to all people, whether they were family members or not, whether they were children or not. This was the love that we could have for total strangers. This word is translated into Latin as caritas, where we get our word charity. We do those things not because of what the person does for me. We're going to Mulwenny after the service to show charity, to show unconditional love, not because of anything that they've done for us, just because we want to say we love you. That's why we go. So this is a love that when we read it, it's expressing the unconditional love often of God towards people. The sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross is agape love. He loved everybody. He died for everybody, that as people turn to him and say, Lord, forgive me, they can have eternal life because he rose. That's the kind of love. I think if we have to try and think about that moment when Christ hung on the cross, if it was us, we might be going, die for some people. Not everybody. There's a couple of people I'm not going to die for. And if we think of our world now, there's a couple of people we would battle to die for. But then we've got to say, well, what is the love that we're expressing in that place? So it's unconditional love. John 3, verse 16, for God so loved agape, the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So we can be guaranteed as we read that word love, that it's this unconditional love that sits residing in that sentence. C.S. Lewis said that agape love is gift love. I just give it, not for any reason, but because it's what I'm called to do. There's a growing evidence that agape is declining in our world today.
empathy levels over the past 40 years have dropped, and in the last 10 years have dropped even further. I read an article on social media, talking about social media the other day, and said that social media is creating narcissists amongst people. We can just say stuff to somebody else, vomit all over them, just because it's what people do. It's nameless, it's faceless. And even if they know you, very often people just do that. So we've got this scripture, 1 John 4. And as we read the scripture, this is not a scripture that is talking about erotic love. It's not talking about brotherly love. It's not talking about motherly love. It's not eros, phileo. It's not storge. But it's agape. And herein lies the challenge for people who translate the Bible, just by the way. I've put it up, not the whole thing, but let's just jump into the first, this, I think I've got three verses here. As the translator translates, the word love falls a little bit flat for us English folk. That's what I'm trying to emphasize today. So we could read it like this. Dear friends, let us love each other unconditionally. So it's not changing. That's the challenge for translators, is the fact that we come to a scripture. And for English people, we want them to understand what this means. For this unconditional love comes from God. Everyone who loves unconditionally has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love with an unconditional love does not know God, because God is the truest picture of unconditional love. You could translate it like that. I'm adding in words. But it helps us to understand what the scriptures are talking about. Let's go to the next verse then. Let's try and throw in some. This is how God showed his unconditional, among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is, we could just say, love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us without any strings attached. And sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. What's the next? I think I've got three. Oh, another one. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. But understand, so now you're getting the feel of this as we read the scripture. There's this word here, just love, just kind of falls flat, doesn't it? But when you read it like that, you go, wait a second. I can see what I'm meant to be doing here. Anyway, let's jump in. Three quick points. The first one, and we could go through that whole scripture, but it's 21 verses, and I thought, oh, they're going to get tired of you soon, Brian, so just move along. But as you go to that scripture, when you read the word love again, think, what could this be? You get interlinear Bibles online where it will just tell you, this is the word in English, this is the word in Greek, or these are the Greek words, these are the English words. You can see, you can quickly pick up agape, storge, phileo. They're there. You can see it. It's not out of reach. So the first thing then, love one another, agape. Love one another with an unconditional love. If I just say love one another, we kind of have our own picture of love. I'm trying to create a new picture for you this morning. Three times John says this in this scripture. But what is this unconditional love? We have different ways of using this word today, the word love, and I've told you that already. But as we come to this, I want you to think of when we're called to love our enemy. If that was an erotic love, if Christ said, love eros, your enemy, difficult. Love phileo, your enemy, no. Storge, no. But unconditional, agape. It's not dependent on the other person. You see, that's how he could say something like that. And that's how the Greeks would understand it. Oh, I can love my enemy, not because of anything he's done, because that would cause me not to love him in every circumstance. But as I say, agape, I love this person. I don't even have to see his face to love this person. Or when we get to marriage, when I say the vows, when I call the people to say I do, I'm asking them to agree to agape love. not eros love. Eros love has got a lot to do with marriage. But I'm calling them. So when I say, will you love this person for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish until God shall separate you by death, that is, you can see that the love is agape. There are going to be times when we don't get up in the morning going, oh, my darling, oh, my love. This is not Hollywood. You know, people don't wake up and their makeup and their hair and they're like, ha ha. No, there's a place where you've got to wake up and go, wow. Okay, what was that word, Brian? It was agape. I love you, my darling. It's, you see, that's why this vow is so powerful, because it talks about nothing you can do. It's all about me. It's all about me. And we've got to get that right. It's about how do we love people? Rick Warren said this: God teaches us to love by putting some unlovely people around us. It takes no character to love people who are lovely and loving to you. Huh? Why do you think there's unlovely people around? So that you can run? No. Number two then. Are you a liar? It's a rhetorical question. Just keep your hands down. Whoever claims to love agapeo, God, yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. He asked the question. I'm not asking the question. The scripture's asking the question. Love with agape love or be a liar. If we're not loving with an unconditional love, we're not living true to the scripture. C.S. Lewis says, do not waste time bothering whether you love your neighbor. Act as if you do. If I've got to say, I need to love you, 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 hi, rather just do something, an act of love, and let it work from there. The world does not understand theology or dogma, but it understands love and sympathy. D.L. Moody said that. Jesus did not only say, I love you, he rather showed us that he loves us. He demonstrated it for us. A very physical moment, he said, I love you. And this is the extent to which I love you. He went to the cross. He didn't turn back. He died to show his love. Don't either get caught up in some silly thinking. Don't say in your head, I do love them. I just choose not to sit close to them. No. So, the third point then, God is love. God is agape. Though we are incomplete, God loves us completely. Though we are imperfect, he loves us perfectly. Though we may feel lost and without compass, God's love encompasses us completely. He loves every one of us, even those who are flawed, rejected, awkward, sorrowful, or broken. God loves us. So the fourth candle that we lit this morning is a candle of love. We've gone through peace, hope, joy, love. Wednesday we light the big center candle because that's the moment when Christ is born. I've been sharing a couple of Advent practices, so there's one last one that you might want to do. So you've only got 2 days to do this, so if you think, gee, I can't go a whole week, 2 days, you're going to be okay. Monday and Tuesday, let your thoughts and prayers be about love. Not all these other loves, but about agape. Think about that word when you pray. Think about that word when you read God's word. Look for the words love and try and say, what does this whole sentence mean if that word agape means love unconditionally? So do that for the next 2 days. Psalm 89 verse 1 says, I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. Tell somebody about the love. Just say to somebody, hey, we heard about love. It's a different kind of love. This is what it is. Or as you read or as you pray, God might impress something on you. Just tell somebody about that. You've got 2 days. It's not a big, big thing. Tell God, tell somebody. Maybe you struggle to love. Maybe in the next 2 days, as you talk about love, as you think about love, as you pray about love, you might say, actually, you know what? There's somebody that I really battled to love. this agape is something that I'm really struggling with. Be honest with God. That's fine. Say, Lord, I battle to love that person. They've hurt me incredibly. Help me to not see that. Help me to be a person who loves simply because I'm called to love. Maybe post it somewhere, tell somebody, but go public. Here's my closing scripture, Colossians 3:14. This is from the Message. Beautiful. Regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Amen. Let's pray. Mighty God and Heavenly Father, we worship you. Thank you that you are the one that taught us what love really is. Help us, Lord. Help us to not get caught up in these other loves, but help us to understand more fully your agape love, your unconditional, sacrificial love. And then, Lord, help us to live that love. Help us to know who we should love like this, Lord. We've got those people in our lives. Help us, Lord, to love them with your love. Lord, sometimes scripture is really challenging. And we know that you are the one that can help us in all of these areas. Help us to be people of love. In your name we pray. Amen.